Hi, this is Rhonda Carmen with allthebestblog.com. This is my second podcast coming to you from Berlin. Over the weekend, I had a chance to sit down with Toma Haynes of theantiquesdiva.com, and we had a chance to talk about living abroad, starting a business, and the joys of shopping in Europe, specifically antique shopping. She shares her interesting story that began in rural Oklahoma and has taken her to Paris, Amsterdam, and now the wonderful city of Berlin. Today, I am with Toma Haynes, also known as the Antiques Diva, and we have had a great time getting to know each other over the past few days, and I've learned some really fun and fascinating facts about her and her life, and I'm going to let her tell you about what she does and how she's used Europe as her playground to turn a passion into a business. And one thing that she mentioned to me the other night is that she is from the town of Sharon, Oklahoma, 122 residents. And she's recently been interviewed for an article in Marie Claire magazine coming out in October. And one thing they had a fun time learning as they were doing the fact checking for the article is that there are actually more cows in the town than there are people. And I am really fascinated by the path that she has chosen and the places that she has had an opportunity to live and experience. She's gone from living in the States to moving to first Paris and then Amsterdam, and now she's in Berlin. And the one thing I thought was really wonderful talking with her and her husband the other night was it was actually a really conscious decision to make this move abroad. And they actually, I'll let her tell the story, but they actually just one day decided this is what they wanted to do, and they quit their jobs, and they made it happen, and I'm always fascinated to hear stories. So I'm going to introduce you to Toma now and let you tell her a little bit about what it's like to be the Antiques Diva and to move from Oklahoma to these wonderful places she's lived. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Rhonda, for having me here today. I am delighted to be your first All the Best podcast.
I'm delighted to have you. This is fun.
Yeah, I grew up in Oklahoma. And when I was 5 years old, I actually got spanked because I told my mother I was going to go to Venice that weekend. And she said, that's great. I'm happy you want to go to Venice someday, but you can't go to Italy this weekend. It's not possible. And I said, well, of course it's possible. Anything's possible. Isn't that what you always tell me?
Right.
And I insisted that she would take me to Italy that weekend. But the thing that got me the spanking was I said the words, or else. So this was really a defining moment in my life because I, for the first time ever, had something I wanted to do, was told I wasn't able to do, and yet the desire didn't go away. So over the next couple of years, I really became obsessed with Europe. Now, mind you, I'm a little kid living on a ranch 30 miles from the nearest town. I mean, there were more cows than people around, and yet my obsession was Europe.
And that's what I want to know. How at five, and how in the world did you know that you wanted to go to Venice? I don't think I even knew where Venice was at 5 years old.
Well, you know, my parents had a gigantic stack of yellow National Geographics, and they were on the floor behind my dad's recliner, and I spent hours studying them. And Venice just fascinated me. I mean, a place with streets made of water. And I think even now as an adult, my heart wants to speak Italian. Unfortunately, I speak it very poorly, but someday I will speak it well.
But you speak it. You speak more languages than I do, and I give you credit for that. And yet here you are, and you've made it happen. But you have to tell, if you will, what you told us the other night, the story about you and your husband making this decision that you were going to move and you were going to make these dreams come true.
My whole life, I wanted to go to Europe. When I was even in high school, I wanted to study abroad, and my parents said, you're too young. When I was in university, I finally said, I'm going to do it. I went to London, had a great experience. But my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, the night before I was leaving to go to London, proposed. Because he was terrified that I was going to go to London.
He proposed the night you went?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
He was afraid I was going to go to England and that I would never return. And so he's a very smart businessman. He wanted to seal the deal before I was gone.
Good for him.
And so, of course, I'm abroad and I was having the time of my life. But I missed him. So, of course, I returned back to Oklahoma. I married my sweetheart. And I immediately began whispering words of faraway places. I told him the places I had traveled and the things I had seen. And really, my dream had always been to live in Europe.
And I love that line you used. You used it before, whispering dreams of faraway places. I think that is the perfect line.
It really, we would lay in bed at night snuggling. And I would tell him different stories, and he would just listen with rapt attention. I mean, we were both from Oklahoma. He's from a neighboring town. And
We're from a very small area. It's an agricultural area. Most people tend to work in farming, ranching, or in the oil business, and a lot of people choose to stay in the area. It's a great community, but it wasn't what I wanted for my life. And it just so happened I met a man living down the road who it wasn't what he wanted for his life either. So we started just discussing how could we make this happen. My family has always emphasized that education is the way out, that it's a future. And so my husband and I, we were at Oklahoma State University at the time. We married right after graduation, and my husband ended up accepting a job as a stockbroker, and we were transferred to Pennsylvania with his firm. In university, I had studied English literature with the intent of someday becoming a writer. Now, that's not the most practical of degrees to have, so when we moved to Pennsylvania, I had a very difficult time finding a job. I finally found my way into a job at a travel agency. It was fun, but it wasn't what I wanted to do with my life.
It only made that wanting to go overseas a little more
exactly.
real.
It only highlighted, yes. It only highlighted my dream. And my husband found, in fact, that he really didn't like being in sales. He enjoyed the financial aspect, the analytical aspect, but not the sales aspect. And so one day he calls me, and I'm at work, and he calls me and he says, I've decided to quit my job. I've decided we need to start over in our life.
And you were with clients at
yes.
the time when he called you?
No, it was horrible. I'm at my desk, and two clients sit down in front of me and are asking about taking their vacation plans to Florida. And my husband is on the phone telling me, I've quit my job, and we're just going to travel for a while to decide what we want to do with our life.
Are you going to travel to Europe? Or?
Well, that would have been the desire to travel to Europe. However, as young and dumb as we were at the time, we weren't that young and dumb. So in fact, what we did is we both quit our jobs, terrified our parents, and we started traveling around the U.S. We drove all over New England, and we just explored and said, okay, we moved to Pennsylvania because my husband's company transferred us there. And it was a great first step for us, but it wasn't what we were looking for. So we said, what is it we're looking for? I knew I liked cities. I always wanted to live in New York City, but my husband was a little hesitant there.
You were young, but you weren't dumb.
Exactly. So we ended up actually, my husband interviewed for jobs all over New England. He ended up accepting a job with a firm in Boston, but in our mind, it was always that we wanted to move overseas. So he started looking for international finance roles, and he found a job with an international company that said, hey, work for us a couple of years, and then we'll transfer you overseas. And that was our magic card to moving to Europe. Now, this is where the plot thickens. We are living in Boston now. The movers come to our house, and we are finally going to move from Boston to Europe. And my husband calls me yet again and says, by the way, we're not moving to Europe. We're going to move to Cleveland. And I said,
a little different.
What? Cleveland? You mean as in Ohio? And he said, yeah, my mentor has suggested I not accept this contract, that it's not a good time for me to go with the company. And so naturally I was very devastated. I mean, Cleveland's a great place to live, but I was one in Europe.
Yes,
Europe had
yes.
been my dream, and I suddenly had lost it. So we end up going to Cleveland, having been told, go to Cleveland for a year and we'll transfer you overseas. We ended up living in Cleveland for about a year and a half. And the whole time we knew at some point Europe awaits.
Right.
But it was a really interesting step along the way because we had a lot of detours in getting overseas. When the opportunity came, we were transferred to Paris with his company. And
that's reason to wait to get transferred to Paris.
Exactly. Paris is always there and it's always perfect. And I am delighted that's where we ended up.
You were there for 5 years,
exactly.
And you couldn't work because you didn't have a work visa.
Okay, this was the best part of the whole thing. I had always assumed that I would work overseas.
License to not work? That's,
I know.
That's a, to I have mean, to live in Paris and get to play sounds
exactly.
a lot of fun.
I mean, I was obligated not to work. I mean, it said in my passport.
You cannot work. You
exactly.
have to find hobbies and keep yourself busy.
And that is exactly what I did. I had suddenly time on my hands. In the States, I had ended up in Boston and Cleveland working in advertising, and I had been working nonstop, crazy hours. And I had all these hobbies I was interested in that I hadn't had time to pursue. So when we moved to Paris, I said, I'm just going to study all these things that I'm interested in. So I started taking cooking classes at Cordon Bleu.
As I mentioned, she's an amazing, amazing chef.
Thank you very much. But yeah, I took some courses at Cordon Bleu. I took some at Ritz Escoffier, as well as with some private teachers in their home. And that really became my passion. And I actually wondered, should I start a restaurant? Should I go into being a chef? But I realized, as much as I enjoyed it, that wasn't what I wanted to do with my life. So I started looking at other things. I took, it's called encadrement. It's a French picture framing course. So I'm actually a certified French picture framer. All the pictures in my home I've done myself. And I realized,
it wasn't it either.
I then even took lampshade making. I took an interior design course through London City Guild. And I really thought that was it because I'm just passionate about design. However, I discovered I'm only interested in doing my own style of design.
And your apartment looks amazing as a result of it.
Thank you very much. But after living in Paris for 5 years, I realized the constant in my life was every weekend I went antique shopping. Every time there was a flea market in town, I went. I started taking friends, and then friends would say, "Will you take my friends?"
Right.
And then the next thing I knew, it was friends of friends of friends. And so before I had even started my business, I was leading tours for years.
And this is so interesting because I love antiques, love antique shopping. I don't know why, and maybe you can tell me if other people feel this way, but I always have this little bit of a fear about antique shopping in another country. Mm-hmm. And part probably because of the language barrier. You don't know if you are negotiating properly or how to negotiate, or can you even negotiate?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the whole idea of shipping. Oh gosh, what if I find an armoire that I'm in love with and how do I get it home? So it's silly because there's not very many things in life I'm afraid of. But there's that little bit of, I'm a little bit reticent about antique shopping in other countries. So am I the only person?
No, you are not. And in fact, the whole basis of my business, so what I do, I write a blog called The Antiques Diva.
Which is a great blog, by the way.
Thanks so much. My goal is to write a series of books. So if you're a publisher out there, I'm interested in talking to you. And my goal is to basically teach people how to antique shop in Europe. I lead these shopping tours with the goal in mind being, you come with me antique shopping. But you're going to walk away with this resource guide that's going to tell you everything you need to know about doing it on your own.
And I will, and this is not that you've asked me to, but I'll plug this because you have played tour guide and here for us in Berlin. And it has been amazingly fun. She has great patience and shows you everything. And we've had a really, really good time. So now I want to go on one of these Paris ones where I can actually shop till you drop and drink champagne.
That is my motto. You have a shopping sack in one hand and a champagne glass in the other.
See, how can you go wrong?
Well, and what we've done these past few days of touring Berlin is very similar to how the tours are set up. It's like shopping with your best friend and interior decorator combined.
So now, did you actually start the business while you were in Paris?
No, in fact, we had been in Paris for 5 years when my husband was transferred to Amsterdam. And about that point, I had decided 5 years of having fun and partying in Paris was great, but I was ready to take on something a little bit more serious. And so at that point, I began writing what I thought was going to be a series of books on antique shopping. The same time as I started this project actually was when the dollar dropped to an all-time low. The recession hit, and I spoke with a lot of publishers who said, great idea, talk to me when the recession's over.
Well, hopefully that'll be coming soon.
Fingers crossed.
So you moved to Amsterdam.
So yeah, we moved to Amsterdam, and so I was working on the books. I started writing a blog, and in fact, the concept of a tour business never entered my mind. So I'm writing the book, I'm working on the blog, I'm doing research. And within about 3 months of starting the blog, people started emailing me and saying, do you give tours? Yeah. Can you show me around?
It's a very organic process.
Exactly. It developed naturally out of the blog. And at first, people would email and ask me to give them a tour, and I would say, no, I don't give tours. Or maybe I would give a tour just for free to someone who had read my blog and I felt a bit of a relationship with. And at some point, I realized,
I have a business.
Yeah. I never intended to, yeah. And suddenly I have a business. And so the Antiques Diva Tour Company was born.
And where do you do your tours?
So we offer tours. I say we because it is my company, but I also have a series of guides who are working with me. I hire locally based guides to help with language and right. to just give kind of a local flair. But we're offering tours in Amsterdam, The Hague, Antwerp, Brussels, and Paris, and coming in the very near future, Berlin.
Okay, so before I let you go, I'll have to ask you just a few quick fun questions. Favorite city for shopping?
Paris.
Best purchase ever made?
Oh my goodness, I have a great story for you on this one. In fact, I bought this Louis XV style commode a couple of years ago. And when I bought it, I had negotiated hard on this purchase. I mean, I seriously negotiated. They were asking 1,800 euros for it. I talked them down to 1,000 euros.
Wow.
And in fact, I only had 20 euros in my pocket. So then I paid a deposit of only 20 euros and they agreed to deliver the commode the next day. Now, when I say commode, I don't mean commode as in toilet, but commode as in chest of drawers. Anyway, so the next day when they go to deliver the commode to my house, they've taken the marble top off of it and they see underneath the marble top, the original wooden top had at some point been painted black.
Mm-hmm.
And you could no longer see the maker's mark. Now, they ended up honoring the sale, even though I had only put down a deposit of 20 euros. And this piece that I bought for 1,000 euros, topped down from 1,800 euros, ended up being estimated at 12,000 euros.
That's amazing. See, that's the reason to go shopping with you. Hopefully I can find a purchase like that one day. Okay, so last but not least, I'll just ask one of my standard questions I ask when I do a profile. So let me ask you, who is your style icon and why?
Yves Saint Laurent.
Oh, he's great.
Anyone who has followed the Christie's sale this year of his Paris Rive Gauche apartment will appreciate the story that I'm about to share. When I first moved to Paris, I did a lot of volunteer work in addition to the various hobbies I pursued. And one of the committees I was on was, we met in an apartment building on Rive Gauche, and it was directly opposite his apartment building.
That's amazing.
And so sitting in these committee meetings, I could stare directly into his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I could actually see from my seat, I could see the two iconic Andy Warhol paintings.
I'm jealous.
And in fact, I ended up going on to direct this entire program, and I believe it's probably because I had the opportunity to continue window peeking into Yves Saint Laurent's life. What I loved about his apartment was the juxtaposition of styles, and that's something that on my tours and in my own apartment, I try to put together different looks. I mean, with him, he had the precious and pop side by side, and it was sensational. One last icon, I would say, is William Haynes, and sadly, it's no relation, but I think Billy Haynes lived what I would call the antique Steva lifestyle. He completely gets the concept
yeah.
of a shopping sack in one hand and a champagne glass in the other. There is this great Billy Haynes quote, and he says, "If I had to choose between style, between having style or being rich, I would choose having style." And this always makes me think of my mother, because I grew up very modest household, but my mom lived so graciously. She always had a tablecloth on the table or flowers on the table. And I think that was the best gift that she gave me, was being able to have style regardless.
And she obviously passed that on to you. And I think style, you're right, is one of those things you have, and it doesn't have really anything to do with money. And you have been wonderful. I'm so thrilled that I got to do this with you today and do this here in Berlin. And we will have to come back and do this again. And we will have to do one of your shopping tours together. So maybe that will be another podcast.
We will definitely have to do a shopping tour together.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Rhonda.